Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 929. This episode is brought to you by Mozilla. Support for this podcast comes from IRL, an original podcast from Mozilla, hosted by Veronica Belmont, who I have known for years, and she is a genius and wonderful. She explores the disconnect between with real stories from the internet and the online issues that affect all of us, because online life is real life now. It is. IRL. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Veronica Belmont is the best. Thank you for them too for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which is a hostful. There are some changes afoot here at the Nerdist Podcast. Some stuff's changing, but just know that the podcast isn't going anywhere. But we'll explain it all in the podcast. So don't you worry. I'm going to do my best to take care of you. So it's all going to be explained. So you get a hostful podcast and then a big announcement and then a dissection of that announcement, because God forbid, what would anything be if I didn't overtalk it? So that's what you're going to get. But anyway, here it is. The Nerdist Podcast number 929, a hostful podcast, a very special episode of the podcast. You'll soon find out why. And remember, everything's okay. Everything's going to be fine. Katie, roll the fine.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Prior, but that Trails Coffee Shop really likes to take their time. Especially there was one of those, you know, you can tell young actor boys, like doing a long
sexy
order.
Young actor boys? Like, really?
Like what?
Were they hot?
Like, it was just like an actor kid, like with his mom, and like he's like, yes, hello, can I have a bowl of avocado?
He sounds odd.
He's like, a blonde kid, probably like, you know, 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Bowl of avocado. Oh, do you have balsamic vinaigrette and olive oil? Could you put that on too? And like just, and then like his mom tried to order like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then the guy's like, oh, we don't serve that till 10. And then he's like, wait, what don't they serve till 10? She's like, the PBJ. And he went, no. And then there was like a moment.
Who would do that when they were ordering something?
Chris, I was going to go there, but you went there first. Well done.
I know. I wanted to aim the bullet at myself.
There was a moment, though, like there was like this awkward beat, like the kid and the mom were expecting the guy to go, okay.
A beat where he blinked three times and a heart plucked.
Yeah. That's when, you know, like it's you hear people talk about it, it's like, yeah, LA people, like, you know, that type of LA, you know, the way people complain about LA people.
Yeah.
And we never really run into those people.
No.
But then, like, I forget if I am like at, you know, at the Grove Shopping Center or something, like, it's always the kids that bug me the most. There could be like a dude, a bro going like, you know, doing the same thing. But it's like when it's an actor kid.
When it's a little kid, because you're like, come on. Stop trying to be an adult.
Yeah, exactly.
Be a kid.
Yeah,
it's okay to be a kid.
Don't dress more expensive clothes than me.
But then you got to go with the parents about that.
Yeah.
You
know,
like that's it. Although we're recording this very early in the morning, because let's begin by just talking about Matt Myra for a second.
Oh, no.
I'll speak for Matt here. Do we have to?
Thank you.
What if it turned out that Matt actually was dead and we were like, he was just a ghost and he thinks he's...
Hologram Myra.
Hologram Myra. Myra. Myragram. Myragram? Yeah.
Myra Graham.
You know, it's a 60-minute window now for these podcasts.
It's almost like I can hear him
stop
still.
Now, they're not going to count as a download.
So what?
We don't talk about it.
Okay, we don't talk about it at all. So, you know, I saw on your Instagram feed, which, of course, is the best way to keep up with people on a personal level.
It's very true.
That you had not one, but two anxiety incidents that you thought you were dying.
That's right. I meant to text you saying you're hoping you're okay.
No worry.
But also, you worry sometimes that...
The text will make me go, what?
Yeah. Like
I thought it was fine, and then this happened.
Yeah.
Sure.
Was that really why you didn't text him?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It was.
Sunday morning, I got up, I took a shower, got ready, packed up my bags, went outside the hotel. The car picks me up at 9 to go to the studio to do After Trek. I felt okay. Wheeled my bag out, sat on the bench waiting for the car, and, you know, I didn't see the car. All right, well, it's not there. Then I finally realized that the guy that was sleeping was my car. So I walked over and I, you know, just opened what my move when they're sleeping, which happens a lot because I fly, you know, I go at weird times,
weird hours.
Is just to open their trunk.
Yeah.
And then start putting my bag in. Then they come out all like, oh, sorry. Yeah. One guy I felt so bad for because he looked super tired. I walked.
Oh.
And then I texted our talent coordinator. I was like, hey, that guy looks real tired. I'm just walking. So I'll call them and tell them he's good.
To fire that man?
Have that man fired. Have that man without a job or a wife by the end of the day.
Can we replace the driver with a PBJ?
But could you please do it after 10 so he can get his peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah. I did hear, real quick aside, sure. I did, because you ordered a hot chocolate, of course. But like I heard the guy inside. I heard the guy inside after the kid walked away, and the guy, like the barista inside, was like, he's like, do we have any Himalayan sea salt for the hot chocolate?
That is exactly what you're exactly right. When people talk about LA, like that in a nutshell, that's exactly the general vibe.
Yes.
We used to talk about those kids a lot that you'd see at the Grove being like, I want the iPad that has the 256 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I just
fucking put him right back.
Guys.
Oh my god.
Call the paramedics.
Okay. So you're waiting.
Ride those levels.
So you're waiting for the car.
I get in the car and then I'm like, oh, I didn't have my coffee yet. And then we're driving. It's a very short drive to the studio, and I just started to like feel very tense, and like I was like, what's wrong with me? Are my clothes too tight? Do I need to like? Is it weird if I ask the driver to pull over and take my stuff, and I'm just gonna walk the rest of the way? And I was like, yeah, that'd be really weird. So I'm just gonna go. I get out of the car. And get in the elevator, and I can't, like, I'm just shallow breaths. I can't breathe. I'm like, oh, God, what's happening? I get to the floor, go right into the bathroom, and I just, like, take off everything and, like, start hanging on the stall, like, to stretch out and, like, just go, like, okay, my organs.
So if someone came in, they would just see nude Matt Myra swinging.
They would just see me, like, hanging, going, what's up?
Yep. What the fuck is up?
I'm dying.
So what's up?
So I'm like, oh, this isn't working. So I just put a sweatshirt back on, go into the office. Everybody's gone into the production meeting. And the table read is at 9:15, and I'm like, okay, well, I got to get in there at 9:15. Let me just sit down for a little bit and see if I can breathe. And I couldn't really catch my breath. And then I go in. I was like, okay, I'll just power through. I go in and go into the table read, and I...
You put your clothes on by this point, right?
Yeah, I had a sweatshirt on, some jeans, some nice boots.
Sorry, John.
And I couldn't talk. I walked into the table read and I couldn't speak. I was like...
Like, did it feel like your throat like, was...
I just couldn't get enough breath to say words.
Yeah.
And I, you know, my showrunner, Jeremy, he's like, what's going on? He's like, you all right? I was like, no. He's like, okay. Everybody will clear the room. How are you feeling? I was like, I just... breathe.
You need to go to sick bay.
And, yeah, right? So no doctor. We just had an engineer and Riker on. I mean, it was... We had Culber on last week. I didn't know what was happening. And then I looked and I had my Fitbit on and I was looking at my heart rate. My heart was only 93. So I was like, okay, it's only 93. So I'm not having a heart attack, I don't think. And, you know, Jeremy's gone for like a minute. He comes back and he's like, the paramedics are coming. He's like, take it easy. They're going to come up and take a look. I'm like, okay. And I'm like just trying to catch my breath. I just can't figure out what's happening. But it really did feel like all of my organs were like collapsing in on themselves. Like, yeah. It was insane. I've never felt anything like that. And the FDNY came, they're paramedics because they have the EKG.
Mm-hmm.
So they came in, you know, strapped me up and like took my blood pressure and like,
Did you ask them, any of them, if they were first responders?
No. And so they're like doing that. They're like, oh, your EKG is okay. It's firing. He's like, they're like, are you just calm down, just breathe. I'm like, oh, taking my blood pressure, all that stuff. They're asking me like, what's going on? Why? What is it? What's happening? I was like, I was like stressed, and I don't know. I'm like starting to like be able to talk a little bit. And you're like, okay, what's you want any medications? I was like, yeah, I'm on Vyvanse, which is a stimulant anyway. I'm like, they're like, okay, so no caffeine today, no sugar. Just I want you to like, they're like, we want you to come back to the hospital with us. And I was like, do I have to go back to the hospital with this? Like, you technically don't. Your EKG is okay. So that's good. You're not having a heart attack, but you know, I was like, am I okay to fly? They're like, when are you flying tomorrow? I was like, no, at 6. It's like, I'm also doing a show at 1 o'clock. This is like at 9:30 in the morning. They're like, well, you have to like, if you're going to not go to the hospital, you have to sign these things. So I'm like signing these things and I'm like starting to like get breath. And the, they go, and Nicole, who's our talent coordinator, talent producer, she's a doula and a yoga instructor also. So she comes in, she turns the lights off, she puts her hand on my back and just leads me through breathing exercises, which was amazing.
Yeah.
That sort of, I started to feel like I could talk and I was like, okay, I can sort of do this. I can stand up. And then I go outside, I go out, the paramedics are talking to Jeremy and I...
He could go at any minute.
Hey, we're right next to him.
He might, like, explode.
He's in the room right now.
Wait a minute.
He can
Where?
Hear you.
Where is he?
Behind you.
No.
The paramedics were great, and I was like, you know, they were, like, still there. So I was like, so that's a lot of caffeine and a bunch of sugar? And they were like...
How much caffeine are you consuming in general?
It depends on I've cut it since I started on Vyvanse, like a lot. I've cut it in more than half.
Because when I was really first having the worst panic attacks of my life, I realized, oh, that's what a coincidence. It's happening right after I guzzle a coffee. Because it just, yeah. Like, it just... It
Weirdly,
just
I hadn't had any caffeine yet that day. Normal caffeine intake is crazy.
I mean, I think a lot of it is just your body can only handle so much.
Yeah.
And your body is just like warning you like, fuck, take it easy. Yeah. We can't, there's only so much we can,
sure.
We can sleep more.
We can
and
do.
That, so then they're like, Tori was the office manager. She's like, we have a doctor coming. Do you want a doctor to come after the show? I was like, yes, please have a doctor come after the show. Like, okay, we're going to work on that. So I'm like, I'm feeling somewhat okay. At this point, it's like almost time to get dressed, put the suit on, and go to rehearsal. So I go, put the suit on, go in to do rehearsal. Jeremy's in my ear. He's like, let's just go real quick through this. You don't have to like, you know, we don't have to do everything. I was like, okay, mess up prompter a couple times. I'm like, oh, I think, I don't know what I'm going to do here. And then I go back out and I ask the makeup lady, I was like, how long will the makeup take? She's like, 15 minutes. I was like, okay, and I'm like, what's the latest I can do makeup? They give me the time. I was like, okay, Give me a half hour. I go into my there's a very tiny dressing room attached to the stage, and I turn the light off, close the door, pitch black in there, no windows, and I put on Sea Change, and I sit Indian style on the floor and just breathe while listening to Beck, and I'm like, okay, I think I can manage to do this show. I go out, get makeup, I do the show. The whole time I'm doing the show, it's like starting to come. It's like starting to come back.
Sure.
But like, it's a great show. Anthony Rapp and Jonathan Frakes were like fantastic guests. Very little work you have to do when people are like engaging and talking. And so that was great. Everyone's like, this is your best show. I was like, really? So they're like, okay, and the doctor's going to come. So the neurologist comes afterwards, and he's like testing me out, and he's like, everything's okay firing wise. He's like, are you stressed right now? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, what's your schedule like? And I'm like, I run through the schedule as we all heard in the last Hostful. And he's like, yeah, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
He's like, you're suffering from exhaustion. He's like, can you like shut it down for a few days? I was like,
what are you talking about?
I was like, my script is table reading for the Goldbergs next week, and I have to do that, and then it shoots. And he's like, okay, well, he's like, you gotta take it easy. I'm gonna prescribe you Klonopin. He's like, it does the opposite of Vyvanse. I was like, wait, what? So it's like Vyvanse will lower your threshold, apparently, is what he was telling me, for a panic attack. I was like, okay, so that's interesting. He's like, I need you to go. Are you in psychotherapy? I was like, yeah, I have a therapist and a psychiatrist.
Well, then there's that time where you relax, where you're jerking off into a cup.
Well, that was Tuesday.
Oh, that made it real.
That was literally on Tuesday. God,
the date made it real.
Yeah.
I wasn't really picturing it until the date. Yeah.
Well, so needless to say, by the way, I have to say, so after the doctor comes back, Frakes and I are on similar flights. So he's like, what do you want to do? He's like, we should watch the football game, right? I was like, yeah. The Patriots were playing in a playoff game. I was like, who are you rooting for? He's like, the Patriots. I have a house in Maine now. And I tried to convert like 15 years ago. It was a good time to convert. I was like, all right. So it's just Frakes and I just laughing and watching the football game. That was amazing.
I mean,
he was like,
you didn't feel like you had died at that point. Like, I've died. I'm watching football with Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, yeah.
Am I dead?
Maybe we're all dead.
Did that show ever happen?
Everything would make a lot more sense.
I got on the flight back to LA, and normally on that flight, because it's a 6 p.m. flight, it usually gets me into L.A. at like 10:30. I don't go to sleep because I'm like, I'll never get to sleep when I get home. I was like, I'm just going to fucking sleep. I need sleep. So slept on the plane for like 4 hours, got home, saw Dory. I was like, let's just go to sleep. I slept till, 7:30 in the morning. And then I essentially was like, okay, well, we have a table read at 10. I'm gonna go into work. She's like, you sure? I was like, yeah, I gotta go into work. And I
sometimes, by the way, it sucks to sit around because that's when your brain really
very
just starts,
true.
Yeah. starts spinning. The distraction
is nice,
can be good.
Yeah. So I went to work, but I'm like a little. I was like a little, still a little dazed, and I go stop at the gas station / 7-Eleven right by Sony on Overland, and I go in, I buy a bunch of water. I'm like, I'm going to hydrate today. Fill up my car, get back, and I put my stuff in. I was like, I better put this in my bag so I don't forget the water. So I put the water in my bag, close the trunk, get in the car, drive. I hear a thud. I go, wait, what? And then I look in my rear view, and my gas cap is open, and I'm like, did I just drive away with the nozzle?
Oh,
the answer is yes.
Red flag number 10.
Yes, I drove away with the fucking nozzle. So I reverse it. I pick the thing up. I'm looking at it. It's like the valve like came off or whatever.
And they're ready for that too. Like a friend of mine did that.
For
they have the
sure.
form. It's like there's a form for
yeah,
it, right?
The owner's there. Yeah. He comes out. He's like, I need your insurance information. I was like, oh, he
did it yank like, out of
like,
the thing?
Yeah, pulled out. But like there's a release. There's a quick release valve that I think it's built for morons like myself. Yeah. And I was like, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to go anywhere. He's like, I'm just going to get the insurance info from my wife. He's like, you don't have it in the car? I was like, I do, but it's my Progressive, we're now Geico. So the whole thing, he's like, okay, and then my wife sends it. And I was like, listen, I'm not going anywhere. If you really need to find me, I'm right there. Like, literally pointing at the Sony building. Yeah. I was like,
by the way, you driving away with the gas thing in your car is technically a Geico commercial.
Right?
Waiting to happen.
Boy, I better get Geico. So I give him the info. He's like, and he's super nice. And like, he's like, go in and the lady will take your information. And I give her the thing. And she's like, filling out. And she's like, don't worry. This is the third time this week.
Must happen all the time.
It happens all the time?
Of course it does.
That's crazy to me.
Of course it does. You also with like hybrids now, people are getting out of practice. Like they don't fill up all the time.
Right.
So it's like when they do it,
sure.
They kind of...
So then, yeah, I go to work. I do work. We get out a little bit on the earlier side. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I have to drive to Pasadena to go do a podcast.
Oh, shit.
So I drive over. I'm like, there's the whole time I'm like... debating, do I go, do I not go? I don't feel great, I should just go. And then I go, we do an episode about Moonraker, and it's the fucking blast, and it's just like so fun. And the Tuesday, I'm like, oh fuck, I have to get up. I have an 8:30 a.m. appointment at the IVF clinic. I do that. Tuesday, that's like the worst jerk off experience I've had there, guys. It was so...
We're fine without the...
No, I just have to say that the room they had me in, the doorknob was so close to the laboratory, like it was kitty-cornered to the lab, so people are going in and out of that lab all the time. And then I'm just like hearing people talk about third-degree burns that they have. I'm like, wait, what? And every time a doorknob, I'm like, ah!
You banging really on the wall?
I mean, that feels like nostalgic jerking off.
Right.
You know, trying to be quiet while your parents are home.
So then...
I'm talking about third-degree burns.
Yeah, why are they talking about third-degree burns at an IFV clinic?
I don't know. They were just like I think it was one of the lab techs talking about them burning themselves.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
Obviously they tell them what degree because they're lab techs.
They thought that's what would get you off.
They're just like trying to figure out what he's into.
Hey, is that burn victim guy? I think so. Let's talk about this. So then Wednesday, Dory and I have an IVF appointment, and immediately they're like, did you talk to the doctor? I was like, what? The doctor wanted to talk to you. I was like, oh, okay. She's like, they're like, they need your blood. And I was like, what? Okay. And then I go into the lab and I'm like taking my shirt off, my button-up shirt. And I'm like, okay, I guess you guys need my blood. He's like, okay, what's your name? I'm like, give him my name. He's like, no, we don't need your blood. Go to the bathroom. I was like, what? Do I need to jerk off again? And he's like, no, I just need a urine sample. I'm like, oh, okay.
So all of your sperms are dead.
Well... follow up to that. I go, then we see our doctor, and our doctor's like, okay, so listen, your report, your morphology is good, but your count is 52,000.
Used to be a million.
Oh, yeah. She's like, it's 52,000. Last time we did this, it was 350,000. I was like, she's like, you're taking the antioxidants? I'm like, yep. She's like, I was like, question. Does stress affect this ever? And she's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, okay, that explains that. And I was like, so can we freeze... do we have to schedule an appointment to freeze my sperm? Because I will... theoretically, the timing right now looks like I'll be out of town when we do the actual retrieval. And she's like, we can't... your sperm's compromised at this point. We can't freeze it. You have to be here for a fresh transfer. So there's this, like, period of time. So, like, Dory's going in tomorrow... and I don't know what I will do if it happens to have to be on a Sunday. Because it would be probably next Sunday or the Sunday after, both of which I'll be in New York.
Just during After Trek, just have a fleshlight under the desk.
Well, then how do I get the contents of said fleshlight back to LA?
Duh, pneumatic tube system.
Yeah.
So... That added a whole other layer of stress. So now I'm waiting to see about that.
How are you feeling today? Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear. I did offer Matt the chance to not be at this podcast. I was like, you know, don't show up if you need. He goes, no, I'm good in the mornings. You know, like mornings are fine. You know,
sure. Mornings are fine. Mornings are okay. You know, normally every morning I'm not recounting all of my anxieties.
I'm just concerned about you because...
No, I appreciate your concern.
Because I also had to learn that... and Jonah also learned last year that your body does have limits. And when you're younger, you don't think about that. Because you're like, oh, I have infinite everything. I can, you know...
Yeah.
But then at a certain point, there is a ceiling. And your body will just start to warn you, and it'll just shut down.
Yeah.
And you'll manifest all these symptoms of all these things.
Yeah.
And be convinced that you have 100 different things. But if you look up anxiety symptoms, it's like the great mask. Like, it masks as everything. You know, listen, if you feel like you're having a cardiac episode, you should call a doctor. But in general, the stress is just it's really insidious.
Yeah. So I mean, essentially, the light at the end of the tunnel for me is like, okay, I have three more episodes of After Trek to do. I think by the time you guys hear this, it'll be one more episode. So we'll be through that. I'll have weekends again, and then the Goldbergs. We are doing four more. We have four more episodes to make. So I'll be done March 2nd.
Yeah, I was always able to defer the you know, and then March 3rd, you'll get a terrible cold.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure.
It's just like the momentum just catches up and slams against your body.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's literally new.
Well, just try to remember to take little.
I booked a trip last night to Disney World for late March.
Good.
I was like, okay, I'll do that. And then we'll see. I don't know.
Hey, maybe you should see if you could get into. Do they have a dream suite at Disney World?
They have a dream suite in Cinderella's castle.
Yeah, you should see. Maybe that's where you. Maybe you should see if you could pull some strings and get in there. And
what
maybe
strings? I have no strings to pull.
Maybe that's where Dory gets pregnant. Because you're so happy to be in the castle.
I don't want to get Dory pregnant in there because I know my mom stayed in that suite.
Beautiful.
She won the Year of a Million Dreams contest.
She did?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God, that's fucking amazing.
Her friends were in Disney World whenever they were doing that a few years ago.
Yeah, so they just run up to you and go, hey, you win.
And her friends got to stay in the Cinderella Dream Castle and like spend the night and like go walk around at night when no one's there.
That's so awesome. Cool.
Yeah, I was very jealous.
So I have something I want to talk about now, which is... I don't know how to talk about it. Well, it's just weird. I'm nervous about it.
Can I just say it in the easiest way possible?
Sure, you go ahead.
Nothing's changing.
That sounds like a bad parent. Nothing's going to be different. We still love you.
What are you doing?
No, here's the deal, guys. Alphabetically, the show will pop up higher in your list. The end.
All right, yeah, I know. That's well, okay. So this is something that's been brewing for a while. I've had to shift a lot of things around, but ultimately, starting in February, I think February 6th is the first show.
Is that this one?
It's not this one.
Oh.
This is the getting ready for that one.
Oh.
Farewell show.
It's not a farewell show. Stop it.
Oh, just Chris, tell people. It's been a great run.
People are fucking having panic attacks right now.
I'm changing the name of the show. I'm changing the name of the show.
Yeah. This show now is These Friends of Mine. We're changing it to called Ellen.
Think of it as like the Seinfeld Chronicles and then Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the best is yet to come, baby.
I'll tell you. Pickle Rick. I'll tell you every. So I'll just sort of explain because the last thing I want anyone to think is that I'm because when you really invest time and energy into something and there's a change. I know as a fan it feels weird because number one, you like things the way they are. You like patterns and you like and when there's a change, you're like, what the fuck? Why is this, you know? Like I go to the same place for breakfast every day, and if there's ever a new person, they're like, do you need a menu? And I'm like,
I'm a regular.
I'm a regular. Where's the PBJ? I first want to say nothing about the show is changing. The show's going to stay the same. You guys are still invited to come on and do Hostfuls whenever you want.
Just Hostfuls now. Okay. Cool.
You need another weekly commitment.
Hey, I have a hiatus coming up.
We're invited to do the version of the podcast that wouldn't be possible without us. Thank you so much.
So I know... I'm not saying it for you. I'm saying it for the audience so they don't think...
It's like your wife going, you're still invited to sleep in the bed tonight. I thought that was just a given.
Well, not really.
The reason I'm saying that is so people know that
you guys will also be a part of it. But
no, literally, it's the same thing.
It is the same.
It's a name change.
I'm sure that people will still find a way to go, oh, it fucking sucks now. So here's the long and the short of it. You know, in 2012, we sold Nerdist, the guy that I had partnered with, and I sold Nerdist to Legendary. And so at that time, I sort of had to make peace with, like, all right, this is not technically mine anymore. And then, you know, over the years, just with my schedule and everything, you know, I've really become – it's not like I'm at Nerdist, the company, day to day going, put that over there. Put up this headline. And get me more pictures of Spider-Man. it's – which actually
whatever, Blaine.
Would say.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that is a Blaine confession. So I, kind of in the same way that about 2 years ago – I had all the social handles for Nerdist, and I gave them to the company, and I had at Hardwick, because I felt like I got to a certain point where my voice wasn't representative of the full scope of the company, and the company's full voices weren't necessarily representative of mine. And I also didn't want to, like, say stuff or tweet stuff or put stuff that, you know, if I made some dumb joke, I didn't want people to get mad at the company. It's like, this is me and that's them. But the company really evolved to a place where I always wanted to be, which is it evolved into its own thing that was way bigger than me, way bigger than I. And so I started, you know, last year I started really having some very deeply reflective moments about, all right, we're almost 8 years on the podcast. How do I still feel about doing the podcast? Is this something that I feel like I can continue to grow? What's happening? Things are getting so crazy busy that I really kind of had to take a look again, and is this something that I still want to do? And I thought, you know, I do still want to do this as long as I feel like I can continue to grow it, because that's part of what excites me, is being able to grow.
Growing, you're dying.
And that's right, you're not growing, you're
American
dying.
American industrialism at its finest.
Yeah, here we go. So that's kind of where we were at. So at the what was happening in parallel with – this is a very long, boring story, but I'll just give you the broad strokes of it. But all the people that when we came over to Legendary, like all the executives that brought the company over, they're all gone. Legendary was bought by a much larger company.
Wanda Group.
Yes. And I haven't met any of the Wanda people. I'm sure they're very nice. But for a long time, Legendary sort of had an interim – like an interim CEO, like not a permanent person running the company. So at the beginning of last year, I kind of realized, like, you know, my situation with Nerdist, the company, is that I am an employee. I have an employment contract. Like, I'm sort of like running Nerdist, it kind of puts me in like a management level, like a manager, but even more like a consultant. Because again, I'm not
you're Mr. Manager.
I'm Mr. Manager. So, they hadn't really had there, you know, there wasn't a person that was like a really fixed executive yet for several months. And at the end of December, my contract with Nerdist was expiring. And so time kept going on. It's like, well, no one's really talking to us. I'm not really hearing anything. They're like, well, someone's probably going to come in, but we just don't know yet. And so it just gets closer and closer and closer. And then finally in September, October, I start to really have the realization of, like, I don't know if I'm going to be working there anymore after. I really just don't know if I'm going to be working there after the new year. What do I do? Well, I own the podcast. I know that. I own the podcast 100%. I own it outright. So I own all the back episodes. I own it. So the only thing I don't own is the name. I don't own that. Legendary owns that. So I start digging around and going, okay, well, if I'm not going to be employed at Nerdist anymore, you know, where could I take the podcast? What could I do with it? Because the other backstory is, you know, I've been happy to do this podcast for so many years. For the first six and a half years of the podcast, I didn't get paid to do it, which that was totally fine with. And the first few years, I actually paid a lot of money to make it. Yeah. And then in like the last year and a half, I got a little bit of money, you know, like, oh, okay, well, you can have a little bit of a talent fee. I was like, okay, that's fine. Again, not doing it for the money. But sort of realizing that all this might be coming to an end, I just got panicked. So I was like, well, let me just see if I really am going to continue to do this. I got to see if anyone else wants to produce the show, like to pay for the production and everything. So I kind of put the feelers out. I met with a couple of ad companies, and
and people made offers, and I went with this company called Cadence 13 because for a few reasons. Number
That's
one,
a cool name.
Yeah, for number one, they're really nice, and they really were fans of the show, and they understood the show. The biggest reason was that they have their parent company owns radio stations. And I know it seems crazy to jump back with platforms, but I thought for the longest time, I thought I would love to like syndicate the podcast as a radio show. So you could still get the podcast the way you get it. But in a handful of markets, it's just on like Sunday nights. That to me seemed like a fun thing to do. I kind of started working in radio. I really like radio. And I still think podcasts haven't really even come close to tipping in terms of like being, being a huge widespread thing. I think there's plenty of room for podcasts to grow. And I think when technology makes it as easy as just flicking on a radio station, I think that's when podcasts will really, 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 I really think most mainstream, most of the country still is like, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
I got to download what? And then I play it where? Mm-hmm. God, I don't know. It's like two steps too many for most people. And so, which seems surprising, but, because of the business we're in, of course everyone knows how to do it, but a lot of people don't. So this seemed to me to be a way to try to bring people over to digital because all the top-rated podcasts are NPR podcasts.
Yeah.
It's like they have a solid radio presence, and that solid audience from that solid radio presence...
It's also edited and flashy.
Produced. And,
yeah, but...
East Coast, West Coast.
But it's also marketed. It's also marketed as part of the NPR community and part of the, And
people support it.
It's really well done. So I really wanted the opportunity to do that. Then... Additionally, everything else that I've been building, has been sort of focused on this ID10T stuff. The festival that we produced last year that we're going to do again this year, there's kind of a... I've always wanted to make toys and T-shirts, and so that's going to be a part of it too. And I really want to... I want to call the podcast ID10T. I want it to be a part of this new thing that I'm building. And that's... very exciting to me. And that is kind of a way to stay excited about, about doing the podcast and continuing to do it as I'm kind of growing this new thing. And I know it's weird. And I know, Nerds Podcast just has like a very it just has a very nice flow to it. But legally I can call it that, but I have to pay Legendary a lot of money if I do.
Yeah.
And so it's just not really...
Wait, how much? Because maybe I'll do it.
If I told you how much, you would have another panic attack. But the Nerdist folks have been super nice. So anyway, just to kind of wrap up the Nerdist, the company story, a few days before the end of my contract, the new CEO who was not taking over until January 1st, called and said, hey, okay, I'm starting January 1st. I really want to try to figure out, let's talk about the future of Nerdist the company. And I go, well, I didn't know what was going on, so I have taken the podcast from the network that I created to another company. And I'm sorry, I just legitimately didn't know if I was still going to have a job here. And he goes, no, I still want you to be a part of this. He goes, and that's fine. That's fine that you did that. I totally understand. No worries. Let's really, after the new year, really start kind of figuring out what the Nerdist stuff is really all going to be. So that's where it's at. I mean, I'm technically still CEO of Nerdist Industries, although not really under contract, but just because... I don't want to put them in a bad position, and I want to make sure that if I can do anything to help, whether that's be a part of it or not be a part of it anymore, I just want to do whatever.
Yeah.
So, but this ID10T thing, I'm really excited about because I kind of have that excitement that I had at the beginning of when I was building Nerdist, and that's really what everything is. That's why you should do stuff. Things are going to change. Things are going to evolve. It's not necessarily it's really more about the having stuff than the keeping stuff. Like Nerdist, that name was a period of time. The podcast will still be the same. And this is sort of
a new chapter. People will not have to resubscribe. It's the same feed. It'll be the same types of guests. But also thematically, I feel like I've changed and I've evolved, and you know, and the podcast doesn't really represent the full scope of Nerdist the company either, and vice versa. So I'm proud of what Nerdist has become, and I'm also ready to start this new thing.
Yeah.
But you said something when we were talking about it before that made me laugh, where you was like, oh, you went from
once a nerd, now an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason that I really like ID10T as a concept is because as I'm getting older, I really feel like it's important to take responsibility for your shit. And I think that's the core message of ID10T. It's like it means user error. It's like an IT code that means user error, to sort of make fun of people who are the cause of their own problems. And that to me is fascinating, because that so encompasses where I'm at in my life with taking responsibility for shit and having to go, hey, I'm wrong, or I made a mistake, or yeah, I fucked that up, or hey, I did a good job there, you know? That's so much, whereas Nerdist really represented where I was 10 years ago when I created it. Now, this represents kind of philosophically where I'm at with my life of like trying to take responsibility for things. So, you know, what I'd be really interested to find out from the audience is, you know, just like little thing, because Katie asked me a couple days ago, I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Because Janet Varney does the now entering Nerdist.com. That's her voice. And the now leaving and enjoy your burrito. I still feel like enjoy your burrito is a good way to sign off the podcast. If anyone else wants to suggest something, or, you know, like a
different... How about don't panic?
But that's sort of a
That's Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, yeah. So... I don't know. But the whole thing is...
Keep calm and podcast on.
Fuck you.
It does make sense, though, because, you know, I told you the burrito from Enjoy Your Burrito...
Closed.
It closed down, so...
I know how bummed you were about that.
It's only right to just...
You just showed up there one day and it was just, like, boarded up, right?
I went before I was leaving on the Mystery Science Theater tour. It's like Dee and I went down. We're like, let's go just have a day. And then we went down and, like, I was pulling up and it was devastating.
Oh my God, boy, was that ominous.
Yeah, that was
a bad omen for the...
but
I just don't...
Jack in the Box it is, honey.
Yeah, right across the street.
So, I don't know. I mean, I am excited, but also scared, and I just don't... I wouldn't want anyone who has invested so much time and energy in the podcast to feel like, well... This fucking, I'm done, you know, yeah. Like I don't
they
want anyone
scraping the tattoos.
I mean, it doesn't mean that that stuff still exists. That period of time still exists.
We are now Jefferson Starship.
No, but now we'd be just Starship.
No, Jefferson Airplane.
Starship. So we still have another
iteration. We have another iteration. Yeah.
So the next name of the podcast will just be Starship.
Yeah. Was it Jefferson Starship
we
or Star?
This in it.
Is that Starship or Jefferson Starship?
Starship was We Built
the City. Okay, yeah. So we still have our best single ahead of us.
Jefferson Starship was Sarah.
Oh, that's right.
That was Jefferson Starship.
Yeah. And Airplane was White Rat.
1 pill makes you nervous. 1 pill.
Wow, we really are going to improve.
Yeah. we are knee-deep in the hoopla as the Starship. But I wish I could sort of scoop out of my soul and put into the just mind meld with people so they could see what I see that I want to build and am excited about, and all the reasons why this is happening and why this is necessary that don't have anything to do with fucking anyone over or trying to be shitty or trying to be disrespectful to fans. I mean, the podcast is legitimately the most significant work thing I think I've ever done. I've met more amazing people. I've gotten to spend some of the best moments with you guys. I got to talk to my dad in the most significant conversation before he died. You know, we've learned so much from so many great people, and I want that to continue. It's just like the skin is just gonna change, but it also really does represent where I'm at in my life. So
I really am sorry if this is upsetting news to anyone, but please just understand that if you consider me like even a distant pal, that this is something that's good that I'm excited about. And then the money that is, you know, that I'm actually getting paid to do the podcast now will fund, you know, the ID10T stuff, like the stuff that I want to build.
Nice.
Like it's going to provide the seed money for the thing, you know, like all this stuff that I want to make. And, you know, I don't know if any of it's going to work. I mean, I probably will. You know, I announced that film thing with Blumhouse last year and I was like, oh, I want to call it Spitball. And it turns out like, oh, there's a guy's already called something Spitball. And from the time that I did the research to find out if there was an existing Spitball to when I announced it, they popped up.
Oh, shoot.
So I had lunch with them and they were really nice guys. And I was like, well, here's what I'm trying to build. And they go, well, you know, we're making these really great children's books and they'd already made them. And I just said to them, you know what? It's yours. You got it. Fair and square. I'm not going to, you know, like this is, they sprang up pretty quickly, but they were such nice guys. And I just felt like, you know what? This one's theirs. You know what? This one's theirs. So maybe everything will just be called ID10T. And, cause that to me just seems like the cleanest, so that you're not in a situation where you're like, wait, he's also working at, you know, thing A, but then thing B, and what's thing C now? Like, to me, it's easier.
Oh, that's your shell corp.
It's easier. Yeah, what is I got to put all that in that offshore account Buckingham Palace was. Yeah. You know, it's just easier for me to picture everything and grow it as one organism. So, yeah, so for the time being, I'm still at, you know, I'm still technically the head of Nerdist, the company, although really, you know, I like I said, I've just been kind of a consultant there for a while. Like the team over there is really great. And Rachel, who runs the website, and all of the teams over there who, you know, built out Alpha and Chobot and Alicia and Dan and Kyle. And I mean,
Mike Shaw,
like
B-Comp.
It's just, Brian Compton. It's just such a great, wonderful group of people. Michelle Buckman. That's really done what I always wanted it to do, which was kind of be its own thing.
Yeah.
And they've all, you know, they all get to kind of express what they want and be who they are and celebrate fan culture. And so that's it. So, you know, we've got some stuff to figure out and it's, you know, it's I don't know if it's going to be a perfect transition, but just know that I'm always trying my best and I'm never trying to fuck anyone over. Like, even when I remember when we started doing ads for the podcast, like sponsorships on the podcast 6 or 7 months in, and I said the same thing. I was like, I'm not doing this to fuck with you. I will always be transparent about what's going on. It costs money to give away free stuff. I don't want you to have to pay for the podcast. I want you to be able to just get it. So we'll always be there. And, you know, for the foreseeable future, this is really, I fear that if it wasn't this, I'm not sure I was going to be able to continue to do the show.
You had to get excited about it again.
Well, not only just get excited about it, but also just like, how is it going to evolve? Yeah. And I just sort of felt like where it was and sort of the structure of where it was just going to kind of stay the same level. Mm-hmm. And this, to me, freshens it up, makes it more exciting for me and hopefully you, and allows it to grow. I'm so excited about the fact that there might be like podcasts as a weekly syndicated show. So, you know, you'd hear it on a radio station on one day, and then you'd get like the full unedited version the next day for, you know, for free, the same way it's always been. And, you know, that's really, that seems really fun and exciting to me, especially as this festival thing builds out. You know, there's just, I have a lot of plans and there's some stuff that I can't talk about that I'm excited about, but please just try and trust me for now if you can. And if you can't, and you really feel like, you know what, fuck you, Chris Hardwick, how dare you? We had an unspoken agreement. if you want to unsubscribe and if you want to tell me to fuck off forever, I just say, you know, I understand. And
that, and I thank you for.
Cool. If you're going to do that, come over to Jonah Radio or Matt Dory's Excellent Adventure.
Any of the 19 podcasts that Matt does, yeah. Come over and watch Matt Myra's Slow Breakdown.
Oh, listen every week.
But I'm trying to have a moment here with the audience.
I know.
I know. I just
sad, and I try to make.
Well, I don't want them to be sad. I want them to be excited.
They're happy, and I'm trying to bring them down.
I want you.
I wonder if there's a majority of the audience just going, so it's just, you're just changing the name?
Cool.
That's honestly, you know, where I feel like that.
I always go, I'm such a caretaker, I always go to the most extreme.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, God, it's going to be okay. You know what? It's going to be okay. Please.
Yeah. Look, like, when they changed the name to Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters...
He really was the star of that show.
What's happening? Is this show different?
Should we change this, not ID10T, but Myra and the Real Nerdist Podcasters?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Spiritually, Matt is kind of a Slimer.
Sure.
I fucking sure am. Oh. That's so funny.
No, Matt just, like, phases through the wall.
Yeah.
My, I mean, I think it's very sweet that Hardwick is so concerned about all you lovely folks out there, but I think it's
sound like you're about to go. I could care less. About
no,
you.
I think it's like honestly, I feel like Jonah was saying. It's, I think the majority of the people will feel is honestly like, oh, you're just changing my name.
I know, but I just I never want to take anyone's feelings for granted, and I never want to just. Go like, well, this is what we're doing, so fucking deal. You know, like, that's just not my personality.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to know that I appreciate and support the opportunity to be able to do this show for so long. This thing that I really just thought was, oh, we'll just fuck around and, you know, once a week. And as long as it's fun, who cares? Like, we'll just fucking do it. It's fine. And again, becoming like this, such this significant, I can't imagine my life without having done the podcast, which is so weird. To have gotten to a point last year where I was like, can I still do this? I mean, I remember, you know, my buddy Rove McManus, who did that really successful talk show in Australia for 10 years.
Think about that
and then
a lot.
Just all of a sudden, you know, just announced like, I'm not going to do the show anymore. People were like, what? And when I talked to him about it, when he did the podcast like maybe 5 years ago, he goes, yeah, I just got to a point where I just didn't know what else to do with it.
Yeah.
I just was at the end of like, I didn't know... And I started to feel some of that last year, and it was really anxiety provoking because I was like, wait a minute, though. This is the most significant. How could I have any? And I think it was just because I crave that kind of growth and that kind of evolution. And how do I? And I just felt like, well, where it is now and the way that it's being presented now, because I don't fully, it's not mine, I can only take it so far. And this allows me to make it sort of the cornerstone of this other thing that I want to build. And, you know, I mean, it's
happening so close to my hiatus that buckle up. You're going to hear a lot of me on ID10T.
I hope so. I always say I wish you guys would come in. We'll still call them Hostfuls. I mean, it's not, you know, like that stuff's not going to change. But I guess it's because I was raised playing video games, but I just love the reward system of
loot crates. Like, he loves loot crates.
Of building stuff and seeing how you connect things like, you know, SimCity. It's like, how do I build this here and build this here? And then they grow. And then how do I connect these? And then how do I grow another place? And then I put in a space needle. You know, we're not moving to Seattle, by the way.
Fuck.
I know.
No,
I'm sorry,
man.
You guys. So it's,
there's
you know.
So much Himalayan salt.
I'm being so wordy and over-explaining because I'm just, I guess I just don't. I can't control people. I don't want you to be mad. I want you to understand that I really am trying to do this new thing that's very special to me, and I hope you come along, and I hope you understand.
Yeah. Also, sucker, you're already subscribed to this.
What are you gonna
unsubscribe.
What are you fucking gonna do? What are you gonna do, bro? What are you gonna do?
Seems like more work to
I mean, it's less work to just click and listen because it's already in your feed. Oh, who's this? Oh, Tim Robbins. This sounds like a good episode.
Yeah, we are recording Tim Robbins soon. I think when's Tim Robbins go up?
This will be the first one.
Tim Robbins will be the first one of the ID10T.
Hence me saying this.
Oh, we should have called it Tapeheads.
When is it?
Oh, my God.
Chris Hardwick.
God, that's a good name.
But I'm excited for you, Chris. You really built something here, and now you're shifting its evolution into another thing that you're building.
Yeah, I mean, it just I just have a lot of new ideas and a lot of new fun, weird things that I want to
try. I'm honestly like a little. There's a little bit of me inside that's sad that I can't be around all the time to build it with you.
Well, you'll be around as much as you want to be around.
Yeah.
You
well, know, I'm just talking about time. Time.
Remember,
time.
It's not always want
be
to be.
It's not want.
It's, you know, it's not a slight to you when we don't show up.
If I want, you know, if I was at every podcast I wanted to be at, I'd be at 98% of
well,
them.
Well, it's, yeah. You know, the way that
2%
kind of,
I wouldn't be at, or these?
The way that I envision it is, you know, Nerdist is very much like a digital content company, an editorial company, you know, like that. I feel like that's the brand and very much about, you know, that type of that section of fandom. And ID10T, I really see. I got really excited with the festival last year because I like people and I like doing stuff in person. You know, obviously it's why I do stand up and that's why I do the festival and that's why we have guests on all the time. And so I just thought, oh, well, I think ID10T is more about like live events and, you know, and expressing all these different things that I've been to over the years and trying to find like the perfect balance of all those things into one thing. And maybe we can grow it and, you know, like do an ID10T East Coast and a West Coast, you know, sort of like they do PAX.
I'm listening.
And then on top of that, you know, I just buy so many toys. My wife and I buy so many toys and so many t-shirts and so many things. Like, I just want to make stuff that I would buy in a very curated way so that it doesn't, you know, just feel like Amazon, where it's like, you can get a million of everything. It's like, no, let's just make limited runs of really fun things that are very special and in that moment. And then, you know, so it's, yeah, that's really exciting to me. And it's, you know, it's fun to make money doing the stuff that you like, but for me, it really is about the game of it. It's like, what can I try to do? What can I build? You know, I've told people for so many years, like, go make your thing. And sometimes you have to make a new thing. And this is me seizing a new opportunity to do that, of making my new thing.
Make
so,
stuff, not money.
But if you make money, that's fine too.
Well, my theory behind the...
Is it the money?
Focus on making stuff, not money. So if you try to make money, you won't really like the stuff you make. But if you focus on making the good stuff, the money, you know, eventually will find you.
It's almost a good sign off. Make stuff, not money.
Make stuff, not money. It just sounds a little too
gross.
Yeah,
sounds gross.
ID10T signing out. Make stuff, not money. 5,000.
Wait, why
5,000?
Why 5,000?
Was it the things?
Oh, no, 5,000. Like of whatever. You
what 5,000? What?
It's whatever
though,
it means
Jonah.
To you.
But
5,000. 5,000 Andres. I don't know.
But what's an Andre?
5,000 Power Men?
Yeah. Yes.
525,600 minutes.
I just I am excited and we'll, and the there will be no ripple in the production schedule. There will be no ripple in anything.
Bad time, but Katie, you're fired.
I was just about to make that joke.
No,
of course Katie's gone.
Jonah rehired.
Katie's not gone.
Katie's slogging along with us.
Katie's coming over with me. Debbie the booker's coming over. And
Roy Choi is our in-house chef. It's really fantastic. Yeah,
that's where most of the money's going to.
Roy Choi. I mean, it was never weird that we asked him to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You'll never hear him or taste it.
Yeah. I got John Taffer coming in. He's going to tell me.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, if I'm building this new podcast business the
He's
right
gonna
way.
He's going to tell you about, by the way, Bar Rescue is still going to be around, even though it's called the Paramount Network.
Still going to be around. Yeah. I ran into Taffer. Where did I run into him?
Love him.
Can't remember where I ran into him, but what a fucking great guy.
I love him.
He's just so... He was like, God, I had so much fun doing your podcast, and people were so nice about it. I'd love to come back anytime. Like,
Let's get him back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, can I just send a list of guests I'd like while I'm on hiatus?
Yes, anything that distracts you from thinking that your organs are imploding.
It's a time, guys. But no, this is very exciting. I look forward to this year's festival. Last year's festival was, quite frankly, as I've said to everybody who's asked me about it, incredibly smoothly run.
Yeah, it was a
blast.
This company that I put the festival on with, SGE, did an incredible job. And, you know, this next year, it's going to be in November in Orange County. We're putting it closer to the city.
Oh, I thought it was in What?
Where did you think it was?
I thought it was earlier in the year.
No, it's we were going to try to do it in May. In the fall of last year, we were trying to put it on in May.
Uh-huh.
And the tricky thing about the tricky there's usually a reason why things happen the way they happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to do it in May, and when we went back to the venue, the Orange County Fairgrounds, we're like, okay, we'll take these May dates. They were like, oh, you had a challenge on the date. So the way that these venues and the dates work is that you say, hey, I would like these dates. Because if they're open on the calendar, you submit for those dates. And what can happen is someone already has a hold on that date. And so you can be in like first position as a challenge. You can go, okay, I challenge that date, which means the other person who has a hold has a limited amount of time to determine if they want that date or not.
Yeah.
And so they have first right of refusal to go, no, we want it, or no, we don't. And if they surrender it, then you get the date.
Oh, fucking we didn't, smash
we
mouth.
We didn't know.
Body!
We didn't know that someone else had first hold, had a hold on the date. Ah. So we didn't get the date. But the good news about that,
gives us more lead time.
It gives us way more lead time. And also, you know, November is a really great time of year. It's like the weather is nice. It's, yeah, you know, and so it'll be at the beginning of November at the end of this year. So it gives us plenty of lead time. We're starting to book bands now. We're starting to get some vendors in there. It'll be the same thing as last year, but quite honestly, just easier for people to do panels and to do that, you know, those types of Comic-Con things, to just drive from LA to Orange County rather than flying to San Jose to Mountain View.
I drove. It was great.
Well, all right then. Well, you can just drive to Orange County.
No, I'm going to fly.
That'd be weird.
So you're putting on the festival's for people from LA and they just have to go to wherever it is?
No. I just mean
a lot of the participants.
I mean,
like,
yeah. Sorry. I mean, directors, actors, like, to do the panels.
Yeah. I was thinking, like the guests. You're like, because wherever we put it, it's for them.
Because we got a lot of, I think we got really lucky with the panels last year between you and Harmontown and Mystery and Portlandia and Fillion and Alan Tudyk. But I just feel like it's really nerve-wracking to say to people, like, can you fly up?
Yeah.
You know, but just being able to say, like, hey, just drive, come, you know, down 40 minutes south.
And kids out there who are thinking, maybe I want to travel for this festival, guess what else is down there?
Disneyland.
Disneyland is very, very close.
And it'll just have been redecorated, the Haunted Mansion, for Halloween. So you'll be good. You'll get to see the Jack Skellington version of it. It's going to be a hoot. Not Scary Farm won't be as scary because they shut that down early November.
They do. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. It'll just be Knott's Berry Farm,
which
again.
Is
no, it's Knott's Merry Farm.
Oh, it doesn't change to that?
To Knott's Merry
Farm. Fuck yes.
Fuck. Yeah.
Also, there's plenty of hotels. It's going to be great.
When is it Knott's Dairy Farm, where you just go?
That's in the spring.
Oh, good.
That's right after Knott's Larry Farm, mm-hmm, which is their celebration of Larry David.
Yep, and then Knott's Fairy Farm is celebrating...
Fairies?
Is celebrating True Blood.
Well,
she
was a fairy. Yeah. She was half fairy.
I see.
But that's F-A-E-R-I-E, you guys.
Shepherd Fairy?
No.
Oh.
That's another... There's two Knott's Fairy Farms. Celebrations.
Obey Knott's Fairy Farm.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah.
Anyway.
You can go on the They Live ride.
Where you put on sunglasses and everyone's
on sunglasses and look and around. See.
And then, like, you know.
It's a shitty dark ride.
Yeah.
You just, when you put on the glasses, you can see that they're aliens.
Yeah.
Knott's Rowdy Roddy.
Mm-hmm. Late grade.
Fuck.
Mm.
It's okay.
Really, it's too early for...
Too early for riffs.
Yeah.
Just so you know, this is not a taste of what's to come. We're not getting worse at podcasting. Yeah. It's just early.
Okay, so let's I don't know. How do we
so hello.
Hello.
Oh, no. That's at the other end.
So funny.
Well, I hope you feel better.
Listen, I feel certainly better than some of our audience right now.
Well, just God damn it. Not helpful.
It's good to be fun.
Listen, as long as you're laughing, that makes me happy. As long as you're not panic attacking, I don't care.
We'll see you on the drive.
Give me all the shit you want as long as you're smiling and happy. I think as much as you can defer your you know, like,
military
in a couple weeks I'm gonna be fine, in a couple weeks I'll be able to sleep in, I won't have to,
yeah,
you know, yeah, that is at least that light at the end of the tunnel. And I can tell you this from
that period where we were recording like 7 podcasts a week, and I was doing At Midnight and Talking Dead and mm-hmm, Nerdist mm-hmm, stuff and, mm-hmm. you know, 3 other things, that the only way that I survived all that was like, okay, so in 3 weeks, I have like 3 days off, and I'm just going to power down for those 3 days.
Really, it's in my sights. It's the light at the end of the tunnel.
And Jonah, how are you? You're good?
Yeah.
Good.
We start on Monday. We start writing the new season of Mystery Science Theater.
God damn it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Very, very much looking forward
to it. Movies have been chosen?
Movies have been chosen. Great. There's some good picks in there, some interesting picks. And so, yeah, we'll start writing that stuff. I'm very excited to get going. It's like, you know, once I found out the start date, I start feeling a little better. Yeah. This is one of those things like, I got nothing going on. And, you know, that you're just like trying to self-start stuff and work on other things. And it's nice to just kind of have like, it's like, okay, that's there. And then you can start building around it.
Well, yeah, because it what it does is that it kind of locks down that anxiety center of your brain. It just like, it just knows that you're kind of deferring the opposite, that you're actually deferring the literal opposite thing of what Matt is deferring, which is like, okay, I know that I'm going to have that.
Yes.
While I have all this free time right now, it's really crazy how you guys, your situations are completely flipped.
Yeah, definitely.
But what I think is so wonderful and fascinating about that for people who are listening is that it just shows that like whatever is going on in your life, and you feel stressed about, you're not alone, and that's very natural. And ultimately, it's all going to be okay. Matt's going to be okay in a couple of weeks. You're going to be okay.
You know, it's so funny you're saying that. I thought of a good sign off. It's a hey, you're going to be okay.
Hey, you're going to be okay. Wait, what was it?
We'll be okay. What?
What some more? What else did this with the kid order? Is there anything from the kid's order that could be like a sign off?
Roasted tomato frittata.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. They changed from burrito to enjoy your roasted frittata.
What if we signed off with thanks so much for listening. PB&J is after 10.
We'll probably just keep saying enjoy your burrito. But if we didn't say enjoy your burrito anymore, that would really kind of fit the theme of like, hey, that burrito was done, and you enjoyed it while it was happening, and now we're going to start a new thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm ready to change the sign. I don't know if I'm ready to change it.
Enjoy the ride home.
Enjoy the...
Beautiful ride.
Throw your burrito wrapper in the trash.
Trash. Yeah. Throw your goddamn...
No littering.
Throw your goddamn burrito in there. Ah, Chewbacca and a goddamn...
Patton's Nick Nolte auditioning for Han Solo.
That's like,
holy shit, Chewbacca, goddamn.
Me and Paul Bonanno in the edit bay, just like, if like, you know, every time the computer would crash, like just like, you know, when you're in editing and just the computer crashing, just like, god damn it, Chewbacca. It would be like 2 minutes of us just griping because it made it like more fun than just being fucking like just bummed out.
Paul needs a faster computer.
This was at this happens all the time.
It's crazy.
Crashing computers, like in an edit bay? It's very common.
At the Goldbergs, I don't ever see that happening on our Avids.
Yeah, well, Avid is a sturdier program, but on top of that, it's not as much media because it's a multicam shoot as opposed to like when you have like a huge timeline of, you know, many different...
I don't you know if you realize that we're a single camera program and...
No, but do you do multiple cameras in a scene?
We run two, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I hope this is what the podcast turns into.
Yeah.
Guys, let's talk about
it. Hide this your tree a little baseball. More and show your files to me.
September 10th, Hollywood Bowl, Dave Matthews Band.
And to me,
it's
great.
I was like, Dory, Dave's coming back to the bowl. I was going to get tickets. Lauren Greenberg's going to go. And she's like, you guys have fun. But hey, here's the deal, guys. He's got a new album coming out this summer. They're supporting a tour.
Enjoy your ride home.
I feel like if there was ever a time to get him onto the podcast, that would be the time. So, Debbie, if you're listening.
All right, he seems like a cool dude.
His manager is Corin Capshaw.
Yeah, I've met with his management team before. They were really I a few years ago was trying to book I tried to book Dave Matthews once for your birthday.
I remember that.
And it didn't work out.
You're going through a rough time and Chris is like, I'm really trying to get Dave Matthews. I think it'll cheer Matt up.
And when I went and met with his management team.
Would have been amazing.
Like one of his managers, and the guy was really nice, and we had and then it was just one of those things where it's like
he had nothing to promote.
And then also like sometimes you can have a lot of meetings and then nothing comes of it, and it's not that anyone did anything wrong or anyone's. It's just like, it just didn't work out, you know. Yeah. Like it didn't line up, but maybe now, maybe now.
It'll, you know, that's something to not for me to really hope and pray for, to Lord Jesus and Yahweh and Buddha.
Somebody wants him down here.
No.
Hey, now you're an all-star.
I've been weirdly obsessed. I've been my latest like weird obsession as as like. Oh, that was a fiddle, Chris.
Well, the people at home can't see the fiddle's face work.
The fiddle space work. If you want more fiddle space work, tune into ID10T.
Come down to fiddle space.
I miss when you guys would do fiddle space.
Fiddle space, our private training room for all of your fiddle needs.
Did you think about calling this Noodle Stories?
Noodle Stories.
But my latest like deep dive obsession has been early Motown or early mid Motown, so like Four Tops and the Temptations particularly have been like my deep dives as of late on YouTube.
You can't help yourself.
Okay, that's Michael McDonald.
You won, you were no more. Now you're an all-star.
Yes, you're singing a Four Tops. You're singing a Four Tops song, but I've been like mildly obsessed with the Four Tops and Levi Stubbs, who I think is such an amazing vocalist. He was, of course, the voice of Audrey.
My favorite cut of jeans is Levi Stubbs.
God damn it, not necessary.
But
no, I reject.
Why?
Overruled.
Why?
Overruled.
It's a funny name that guy.
Sir,
got.
You are out of order. That I will have the bailiff, Katie, remove you.
A man has a funny name. The name should be made fun of. It doesn't take away anything. Any of his accomplishments.
Approach
it just
the
sounds
bench.
Like a pant.
Approach the bench.
Last night, very late at night, I was on YouTube and I did a search on my iPad in bed of like the Four Tops, and I scroll, and then I see an episode of Webster with the Four Tops on it, and I'm like, what is this? And it's the whole episode, and it's so fucking insane what counted as television back then. Like, the plot is bananas. Like, it's that the wife is trying to lose her 5 to 10 pounds of fat from the winter, and the husband has bought her Four Tops tickets for the couple Saturdays from now. So she's at the gym trying to work out. She takes Webster with her. She's like on the bike, and then of course the Four Tops come in to the gym. They're gonna work out. They're being shown the gym, and then the Levi is like talking to Webster, and he's like, "Hey, man, why don't you do me a favor and sit on my feet so I can do some sit-ups?" And that's like how they meet.
So Webster sits on the feet of the four
of the lead singer of the Four Tops, Levi Stubbs.
So just by complete coincidence,
yes.
The mom has tickets to
the Four Tops, and then the Four Tops, of course, are staying at this hotel that has or staying nearby this gym.
Boy, that is sweaty.
Oh my God, it's crazy because like also like they throw this plot line in early in the show where an old woman comes by asking to sign a petition for them to get a elderly people's dance that the mother would have to chaperone. And
oh, good, a C story.
And it happens to be on the night of the Four Tops concert afterwards. And, like, there's a scene of her,
They did this in 21 minutes?
24 minutes. She's, like, riding the bike, and she's listening to her headphones. She's listening to the Four Tops. She's just singing the Four Tops. Then the Four Tops all come over and just start singing at her, but she's got her headphones on and can't hear it. It's insane. Of course, Webster saves the day by bringing the Four Tops to the old people dance.
And it all wraps up.
It's fucking bananas.
Well, I saw something that I had never seen before a couple days ago, which was...
Was it the porn version of the Four Tops called the Four Bottoms?
I was thinking about that. I was trying to figure out how to work Four Bottoms in.
Me too.
I appreciate it.
Nothing has changed.
In fact, maybe getting worse.
Yes. This is like year one and two of humor.
I'd never seen a Prince on the Muppets Tonight,
Like, oh, sure. Yeah.
The mid-90s Muppet show that they did. And Prince is like, he's in a sketch. He's like making jokes with the Muppet. I'd never seen him like playful in that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then he goes off with a bunch of the Muppets and he sings Starfish and Coffee, Maple Syrup and... It's up from Sign of the Times.
Yeah.
And then he comes back because the whole thing is that they come in and they go... He goes, Prince goes, yeah, I can write a song about anything. He's like, oh, you can write a song about like food? And he goes, sure. Hey, what's for lunch? And they go, oh, it's a starfish, coffee, maple syrup, and jam. So then he goes up to the song and he comes back and he goes... Could you do that again? And he goes, sure. Hey, what's for what else you got in the kitchen? And they go raspberry sorbet. And then he sings raspberry sorbet. And then that's the end of the sketch. Yeah, that's it was amazing. Fucking amazing.
That's really great.
It was really great. So well, that's it. TLDR podcast name is changing. Podcast itself won't change. Same feed. You won't have to resubscribe. New name, new logo. We're going to figure out all the other stuff in the interim. And I'm still working at Nerdist the company, even though the podcast is moving to Cadence 13 so we can try to put it on the radio. That's it. Those are the headlines. And I love you guys. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming, even though you're...
No, I knew it was always very, on the precipice. It was very important that you...
We showed a unified front.
Mm-hmm. We get together. And do this together. And I knew that. And that's why I made the effort to get here. And I thank you both for accommodating.
Both?
Oh, God. We got to end on something funny. That wasn't it.
There it is.
Nailed it.
Enjoy your ride home. Yeah.
You make stuff, not money. Yo.
Make stuff, not money.
Yo.
ID10T All-Stars coming at you. Master P in the house.
Enjoy your burrito.
I could have kept on doing that for a long time.
Oh, Lydia had been saying that I should end the podcast with munch those tacos.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Gen Z high school girls have gone through a lot. So what could and did send a shockwave through a group of 50 of them competing in one of the nation's biggest scholarship competitions? I'm your host, Shima Oliai, and I'm going to take you behind the scenes of the Distinguished Young Women Competition. I was Nevada's competitor 20 years ago, but this time, a Supreme Court decision catapults all 50 girls into the center of a nationwide debate about their rights. These girls, who have spent months fighting to make it to nationals, are faced with a tough decision. Do they speak up for their political beliefs, or do they stay focused on winning the money?
I think it's going to get ugly.
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.